Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to mini episode 340 of Real Life Ghost Stories. And I have two spooky stories for you today. And the last story comes from February the 5th, 2024. And story number one comes from Molly. I've spent years and years trying to debunk something that to this day I still feel I haven't made a decision about. I would perhaps call myself a skeptic. I love debunking the paranormal and I do so as much as possible. But sometimes, as is the case with my origin story, things just can't quite be explained. And that's where I start to open the door into what is at least the unknown. It's 2002 and I'm 4 years old. My parents, my sisters and I have just moved into a new house in Derbyshire. It's a double-fronted Edwardian and, to my little self, quite pretty, but not home. Throughout this account, I'll likely keep referring to factors that I believe contributed to my encounter, and moving into a new house seems to be a valid culprit. I remember every last detail about this house. We did live there for 7 years, right down to the dents on the brass doorknob of the original living room door, which we kept, complete with its iron lock and key. I remember what I can only assume must have been my first night in my new bedroom. It was a beautiful room, upstairs and first on the left, again with its original panel door, a big old window, and orange, blue and brown with white background ditzy flower wallpaper. I never slept well as a child. I always had nightmares, occasionally night terrors, and I would often wake up screaming in the night. One such terror was waking up and seeing this wallpaper pattern swirling, which never scared me, it just confused me. But there was one dream. I say dream because again it didn't particularly scare me, that I had frequently, and looking back based on stuff my mum has told me, seems to link to a sleepwalking route that I would take around my room. This dream was the first part of a further encounter that I would have in years to come. The dream was as follows. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, sit up in bed and swing my legs over the side of the bed. I would sit for a moment and glance at my nightlight. I was terrified of the dark, so this was possibly a big factor in my experience in this moment, psychologically speaking. Before realising that Mum or Dad would have turned that light off for me and thinking nothing more of it. I'd look over to my door and see the light from the landing shining through from underneath. I would stand up, walk into the centre of my room and look at myself in the mirror that was built into the exterior of my wardrobe door. Just over my right shoulder, a tall, dark and in hindsight shadowy figure would be standing. Just sort of hovering there, like they were about to touch my shoulder. It's at this point that I would wake up. It turns out that I'd wake up not naturally, but because Mum or Dad had woken me. I'd been sleepwalking and was found standing in my room, the door open, pointing towards the landing with my eyes wide open. Kind of creepy, I imagine, from the perspective of my parents. They would send me back to bed and that was that. Fast forward a few years and I'm now 7 to 9 years old. Scooby-Doo is my favourite programme and work is being done on the house for kitchen and loft extensions. This was the point where the house started to feel off. The kitchen extension brought the discovery of two wells with it, one just a few feet deep, the other upwards of 10 metres. The whole time they were just hidden under the patio. The history of the house means that they were likely there to feed a scullery or some kind, but we don't know for sure. I never liked being in the kitchen by myself very much, even if I was just passing through to the garden. I had the same feeling about the loft extension. I remember on many occasions peeping around the bottom of the stairs in broad daylight to make sure it felt safe to go up there, and running up and down those stairs just so I wasn't alone up there by myself for too long. It just felt like someone was there, after all of the work that had been done to the house, and that they were angry or irritated. Even at 7 to 9 years old, I was telling myself it was just my imagination and that monsters don't exist because they get unmasked at the end of the day, like in Scooby-Doo. So that was the backstory and some context. Fast forward again and I am 9 years old. Lots of change has been happening in the house, what with the extensions. My gran had just passed away and I was starting to be bullied at school. Some more possible factors there. But I was absolutely still an avid fan of Scooby-Doo. I woke up one night in the early hours of the morning. It was around 3 a.m. and I needed to go to the toilet. So I got up, walked to the bathroom to see that it was occupied. Luckily, we had a downstairs bathroom as well, so I nipped down the stairs half asleep. I got to the third to bottom step, and a shadowy figure with hollow facial features but no fine details moved through the wall on my left and into the living room. Being an unusually rational child, I told myself that I had just watched too much Scooby-Doo too late in the day, turned to my right and headed down the hallway to the bathroom situated at the back of the house. I have the living room, which has two doors, the original one I mentioned earlier at one end, and a typical 80s frosted glass window style one at the other on my left. The dining room on my right, next to the understairs cupboard, followed by the kitchen, and further up on my left, the bathroom that I'm walking towards. I take a few steps towards the bathroom, and the shadowy person passes in front of me again. This time, from the living room through to the dining room. After the first encounter with the thing, I was wide awake as far as I can remember. But memory only serves so well after more than 15 years. Again, being a weirdly rational and possibly overly curious child, I decided to follow it into the dining room. I stood in the doorway, and I saw it leave through the wall in the corner of the room near a tiny box TV that we had and disappear. Over the years, I've done lots of research into the paranormal and mostly its causes, and I know there are several theories surrounding EMF and infrasound, and how they not only fluctuate during paranormal activity, but also can be the causes of psychological and physical reactions for people, resulting in the paranormal encounter itself. It left a horrible feeling in my stomach. I felt so scared, and I remember being in the bathroom afraid to look at the door, which was frosted, in case I saw whatever that thing was standing there waiting for me. I ran up the stairs and didn't say a word about it to my parents or my sister. I didn't want them to think that I was making it up. Because I had a very strong imagination, I knew this, but to me it felt so real. I spent the next 17 years of my life developing an interest in all things paranormal or supernatural, hoping to find at least someone who had had the same experiences that I had had. I read a lot of books and articles, people's encounters, the psychology behind it all, the science, the histories of places, all kinds of stuff. And one day I found a book that had a chapter on shadow people, a phenomena that I had never heard of before, and I've been trying to debunk what I saw ever since. But so far, I've had no luck. Earlier this year, and in more recent years, I've mulled it all over and finally managed to talk to my family about it all. When I asked my sister, she said she could also never be in the loft by herself for exactly the same reasons as me. She also said that her bedroom scared her, that it just didn't feel right, then refused to mention it anymore because the memory was creeping her out. Mum gets scared easily, but I asked my dad and he said that he had woken one night to go to the toilet and thought he had seen me or my sister in a nightdress in the spare room, that we had just passed by the door. Suspecting we were both awake and playing, he opened the door to check on us and ask why we were awake, but found no one there. Night terrors run in my family, but on my mum's side, not my dad's. He said this encounter had scared him too much and he didn't want to say anything in case we all got freaked out by it. Late last year, something had caused me to think about all of this, possibly your podcast or some other podcast, and I decided to look at photos of the house online. I knew there would be a good selection of photos from when my parents sold it. As I was clicking through the photo slides on the website in particular, I could see, if I zoomed in, what appeared to be the figure of a man, from the shoulders up, with hair slicked to one side, a high white collar and a dark tie, in some kind of jacket, with a physique and hollow expression that matched the shadow I had seen so many years ago. This could very easily be the concoction of my memories and perhaps wanting an answer, just for skepticism's sake. I've had a few encounters over the years, never really knowing what they were. I've considered many theories and all the environmental and emotional factors they possess, but I still don't know the answers. And in truth, I don't think I ever will. But for now, for the sake of my sanity, perhaps, I will continue to be skeptical. I personally think that it's very important to be skeptical. So Molly, I appreciate and respect your stance on this, that you're going down the road of skepticism. You're still trying to find answers for your own peace of mind. And I think that's good for you. Good for you, Molly. I always say that, like, good for you, or, you know, good for them, or good for him. When people tell me things and they're like, oh, this person achieved this, I'm like, oh, good for them. And I always think it makes me sound really, really condescending. It's not meant to be. It's genuine. I do genuinely mean good for them. Never. I just can't figure out how to make it sound not condescending. We sort of went full circle there with your story. You know, you were sleepwalking, and while you were sleepwalking, you were having this dream of like a shadow person standing by your shoulder. Imagine your parents getting up and being like, oh no, she's standing staring and pointing towards the landing with her eyes wide open again. I definitely imagine your mom and dad being like, you it's your turn. It's your turn. I'm not doing this again. She's so scary when she does it. It's your turn to go and put her back in bed. It's not my responsibility. I did it last night. No, I'm not doing it again. She's going to start talking about that shadow figure. It's the big eyes, the pointing. I'm not doing it. In all seriousness though, I have read in paranormal books that doing extensions or building work often disturbs the energy of a house or a building. So I wonder if that's what happened here, that you guys were doing this extension work and it rattled loose whatever was living in there. Because you said it felt like something was angry or irritated, like maybe it was. I'm also so impressed at your rationality as a child to be like, I've been watching too much Scooby-Doo, too late in the day. That's why I've seen a shadow person exiting from the wall into the living room. That is so logical and rational for a child. But then, of course, you know, to see it again, etc. Not good. And to me, it sounds like whatever you were seeing in your dreams, maybe it could only appear in your dreamscape. It kind of sounds like the building work rattled it loose and then suddenly you could see it in real life. I mean, fundamentally, I appreciate that adds nothing to your understanding of the situation. So I'm sorry. I would, however, love to see the picture if you still have it or if you have access to it from when your parents last sold it. I would love to see it just to see if I can see the same thing as you can see in the picture. I apologize if you've already sent it in. I did go back through the emails and check to see if you'd already sent it in, and I don't think that you have. So I apologize if you have and I've missed it. But if you do still have access to the picture, I would love to see it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And story number two comes from Brandy. I have two short stories that I would like to share. Neither are spooky, which has kept me from sending more stories in before now. But why not share as many others have done? My first is what I refer to as the ghost cat. I don't know if it's just my imagination, but I swear I feel a cat touch me sometimes. I'm usually alone, either getting ready for work or standing in the kitchen. The thing that throws me off is that I have a cat. I've always had a cat. But this is the first time I've felt a phantom cat though. The touches are as if they've booped me with their nose or touched a paw to my leg. It doesn't scare me. It oddly brings me comfort. I don't know whose cat this may have been, but if they want to hang out with me, I'm honoured. My second story is a movie reel in my head. I can see everything with perfect clarity and in colour, as if I was looking at a short video. The feeling at the time was so strong it was visceral. I still get goosebumps and tear up when I think about it. When I was 21, I am 48 now, I had moved back to my hometown after being away for 3 years. My hometown is small. Small enough that even after being gone, I can recognise and know who is local, who is a tourist, and who you've never seen before. While I was happy to be back home, it was difficult. I was a single mom. I had left a short, regrettable marriage. I didn't have a job yet, and I was bouncing between living with my grandma to living in a hotel until I could get my own place. Side note, my daughter was not from my marriage. I was a teenage mom and a package deal. Anyway, I felt guilty for not being able to provide stability for my daughter at that time. I also felt stressed, run down, and useless, because I hadn't found a job yet. Thinking back on it now, I was likely flirting with depression. Then I went to the grocery store to buy milk. As I was walking down the aisle of canned goods to pick up the milk, because dairy is always at the back of the store, I saw a man walking towards me. It was just him and I in the aisle. He looked to be my age, perhaps a few years older. Handsome. He was wearing worn work boots and jeans, a white t-shirt under a red plaid flannel that was buttoned up except for the two top buttons, and a dark blue baseball hat. He had blonde hair that hung straight to his shoulders. I can see him clear as day in my mind even now. I first noticed how tall he was. I'm only 5'1", so most people are taller than I am, but he had to have been around 6'3". I remember this because I had to look so far up as I passed him. We made eye contact back a few paces before we passed each other. His eyes were crystal clear, bright blue. The colour of blue when waves crash against rocks and it turns that beautiful glacier colour for just a moment. But what struck me was the most soft smile and slight head nod that he gave me as we passed each other. He never broke eye contact either. I had given my own half-smile to him in return, the kind you would give any stranger. After about 5 steps past him, I was hit with a sense of peace, like a wave of tranquility had washed over me from head to toe. My brain registered that I didn't just feel that everything was going to be okay. I knew it. I turned around to look back at him and he was gone. I rushed down to the end of the aisle towards where he was walking to see if I could locate him, but he was just gone. I knew I had never seen him before. Again, life in a small town, and I never saw him again either. I'm not a religious person. I wasn't then, and I'm not now. However, I do believe there is something greater than us out there. I will swear until my dying day that I was blessed by the presence of an angel that day. If I could explain the feeling that came over me better, or share the feeling with others, they would believe me. But they don't, not really. So I'm sharing it here in the hopes that this platform and its listeners might. Firstly, we love a ghost cat, and I'm going to hijack this story briefly to say thank you to Lou for sending me a book about ghost cats that arrived this week, and I'm very excited to read it. So thank you, Lou. That was very sweet of you. And we love ghost cats. And I wonder if the house that you're in, maybe the house that you're in previously had cats, maybe they had cats that died, and maybe the presence of your cat has allowed another cat spirit to sort of just bop around the house, boop you on the back of the leg, you know, let you know that it's there. It's kind of sweet. I love it. We'll keep ghost cats around. We're happy with that. And in regards to the second half of your story, like, I do think there are people that people encounter that have a certain strange, ethereal, otherworldly energy. I don't know whether you'd call them guardian angels, aliens. Like, I don't know what you'd call them, but I do think that genuinely does happen to people. We've had stories before of people who have encountered people and had similar feelings where they suddenly were flooded with peace and just felt like everything was going to be okay. We've had incidents where people have encountered people where they just felt like they were evil. They were not good people. And I think it's probably really hard to describe these entities, these experiences outside of religious terms. But even if this man was real, right? Even if he was just a real guy and he was just there and you thought that he disappeared, he hadn't disappeared. Even if that was the case, his energy still had a profound impact on you. And that in itself is pretty amazing. Although, I don't know, I'm not a religious person, but I do think there are potentially people who have guardian angels, I don't know, or guardian spirits, guardian entities, I don't know what you'd call them. I also think there are people in the world who just exude goodness, you know. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Molly and Brandy for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from February the 5th, 2024. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website, reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode completely ad free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.